cuts and everything else and getting started with a few meetings, go to a common sense workout. A common sense workout. In other words, just like a farmer plows a field. But he says this about being philosophical. If people were as unphilosophical about moving their arms and legs as they are about regulating their emotions, they would never have reached this meeting. That's a deep statement there. What he's saying is, everybody has a philosophy of action. And basically, he's saying, you all were philosophical enough to get yourselves out of the house and into the buggy, on the horse, on the old ones and twos, and make the meeting. You set a plan of action, you set a direction, you set a time, you philosophize it. You put it together in your mind and you followed it out. You see what I'm saying? He's saying, but you know what? People are not philosophical when it comes to controlling their emotions. Yes. We don't consider what our philosophical beliefs are that cause us to keep the emotions that we have that always lead us astray. And that, what do we call that? We call that the familiars, our family familiars, judging our hearts. Judging the familiars that have been passed down to us. That's what we call that. And asking the Lord to reveal to us the hidden things. But you know what? You're not going to find that out by being worldly and being under a spirit of strife. You'll never find that out. The purpose of strife is to keep your spirit and your mind totally charged so that you'll never spend enough time in God's Word or in prayer to get a grip and get a handle on what you actually believe and why you believe it and what you teach and how you live and how you do. You will never do that. So as you think in your heart, so are you. So it goes on to say, if you mean to break up the foul ground of your heart, you must begin by looking at your heart. Examine and note the state of your mind. See where you are. Many never think about this. They don't pay attention to their own heart. Now, you know what he means by his heart? Not just your mind, emotion, your will, but he's talking about your motivation. We don't consider our motivations. We get a thought, emotion follows, and we do it. They pay no attention to their own heart. They never know whether they're doing well in their faith or not, whether they're gaining ground or going backwards, whether they're fruitful or laying waste. You must draw your attention from other things and look into this. Make a business of it. Don't be in a hurry. The scripture puts it another way. It says, consider your ways. Yeah. Consider your ways. The third paragraph says, to do all this, you must set yourself to work to consider your sin. You must examine yourselves. Now, this is the third paragraph. I want you all to make a little correction here. Third paragraph, second page, or I mean the back side of the first page, I want to make a little correction here. It says, you must examine yourselves. And it says, and by this I do not mean you must stop and look directly within to see what is the present state of your feeling. I want to change that because you need to do that. By this, I want you to scratch out do not. I'm going to change this a little bit. By this I mean that you must stop and look directly within to see what the present state of your feelings and attitudes really are. You think that's important? This is a mistranslation here. The Lord wants us to stop and judge our attitudes and our emotions. And you can scratch out the next sentence. And when it says present state of your feelings, I want you to add attitudes. Feelings and attitudes are this, a lot of times end up being the same thing. Any strong feeling turns into an attitude, good or bad. Think that's true? So it says that is the very way to put a stop to it all. I want you to just scratch that out. Scratch that sentence out.
That is
the very way to put a stop to all. Scratch that all out. Scratch that sentence out. Scratch it out up to the, it says, up to the point where it says, the man complains that he does not see anything. I want you to keep that. I've talked about this too. How many times have you thought, well, I don't see that? How many times have your thoughts spoken to you when something is said or somebody's trying to bring something to you, if somebody's, you're in conflict with somebody, how many times have you thought, I don't see that?
Yeah.
If it's true, you know why you don't see it? Read on. Because you have turned your eyes away from the objects of sight. You've turned your eyes away from looking at it. You really haven't considered it. And the truth is, our moral feelings are as much an object of consciousness as our feelings or as our senses are. Our moral feelings are as much an object of consciousness. You know what we call that? Call that your conscience. Moral feelings is your conscience. A moral feeling is a right or wrong feeling that your conscience bears witness of. How many of you know that obeying your conscience is not necessarily being led by the Spirit? It may be, but your conscience can be truthful and right and be dictating correct things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's the leading of the Spirit. You know, if you're on a wagon and the horses separate from the wagon and the wagon's heading down the hill, And the Spirit says jump, and your conscience says don't be a fool. You've never jumped off anything this high before. And your conscience would say that because your conscience can only bear witness or reflect what's either been taught, knowledgeable, or what, or the God area of your conscience. So, you know, it's like the airplane flying from point A to point B loses an engine. Old airplane loses the engine. This is your conscience versus the Holy Ghost, right? So the plane's losing the ground. The pilot comes over. He says, we've got to throw everything out of this airplane to make our destination. And so they throw everything out of the airplane. They're still losing altitude. And he says, I don't know how to tell you this, but he says, I need three people to give up their lives and to jump out. And to save the rest of us, and if anybody is willing to do that, that, you know, it'll save the rest of us. So somebody gets up and he says, "Viva la France!" and he jumps out of the airplane. Another one gets up and says, "God bless America!" and jumps out of the airplane. And a Texan got up and said, "Remember the Alamo and threw two Mexicans out." Now see, that's the dictates of conscience. That's not the leading of the Spirit. Absolutely. What he said is the more the Word of God's in you, the more your conscience we'll be reflecting the word to you, and that's right. And what we talk about is having, there is a God conscious in everybody. But the leading of the Spirit, how many of you know what revelation knowledge is? The revelation of the Spirit isn't necessarily anything you've ever learned. The Spirit can give you revelation that you've never known. It's not in your conscience at all. And can also directs us in the way we should go. It's a lamp and a light to our path and our feet. The Spirit is. Self-examination consists in looking at your lives, considering your actions, calling up the past, learning its true character, looking back over your past history. Now let me just say a word about this. This is not, I am not saying for you to sit down and start doing a self-psychoanalysis of your past. I'm not saying that.
Your past will come visit you every day.
You know what let me tell you what I am saying. The Holy Spirit will bring your past in front of you as He wants you to see it. That's the time where you give yourself to the leading. We're not going to pass out some form that you read and mark off all the areas that fit your particular lifestyle. That's been done before, and it's a terrible
dead work.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
The Holy Ghost's job is to convict us. What I'm saying is you have to prepare your hearts and you have to give yourself to the Word and give Him enough time that He can reveal to you what He wants to reveal to you. He will show you your enemies. Exodus says, 23 says, He'll lead you face to face before your enemies. He promises us that. And somebody said, well, who would want to do that?
Who wants to go there?
Who wants to be led face to face to my enemies? Well, you could ask yourself the question, do you want your enemies in your face or do you want them at your back? You want to be able to know who your enemy is? Jesus said He has power to overcome everything that, but nothing by any means will harm you. He's given you authority over the spirits. People just don't want to go there. They'd rather be bitter and critical and unforgiving and fearful all their life. Anyway, you can read the rest of this, but one of the things he goes into here is he says, begin and take up the first of what are commonly but improperly called sins of omission. And so he's going to give us a list of things. I'd like you to go through this and think about it. Ingratitude. Lack of love to God. Neglect of the Bible. Unbelief. Neglect of prayer. Neglect of giving grace to people and receiving grace. Lack of love for the souls of your fellow men. Lack of care for the lost. Neglect of social duties, neglect of family duties, neglect of watchfulness over your own life, neglect to watch over your brethren, neglect of self-denial, worldly-mindedness, pride, envy, bitterness, slander and gossip, levity, lying, cheating, hypocrisy, robbing God. And that's by withholding your first fruits and your offerings. Bad temper. Bad temper. That's a euphemism. Oh, I just have a bad temper. Hindering others from being useful. This is a big one among us. What are you doing? I'd like you to think about this. What are you doing in your relationships that hinder others from being useful in the kingdom? What are some of the things that you do What are some of the ways that you are in your relationships with others that hinder them from the kingdom and from being useful and being useful in God's kingdom? Anyway, this would be great to just kind of read over and pray about. I'd like to just maybe conclude with this because that kind of reminds me of, you know, through all these things that you're going to read on this paper, we don't want to get lost in many things to do thing. Because really, walking with Jesus is simple. It's much more simple than walking in the world. If you feel like your relationship and your faith has become very hard, it's because you're already in your mind. And I want to draw your attention to these two scriptures. One, you know, the one I started off with was in Jude 20, Beloved, build up yourselves, your most holy faith, by what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. And by praying in the Holy Ghost, and that's what you're talking about, Tim, walking and praying. By praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. You'll keep yourselves in the Lord by walking and praying, and by praying in the Holy Ghost, by praying in the Spirit. And I wanted to draw your attention again to Ephesians, because Ephesians 5, 14 and following, it says, wherefore he says, in other words, he's saying, why is he saying this? Remember what he said, awake, you that are sleeping, wake up, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk orderly, not emotionally. The fool looks to the ends of the earth. The man that has understanding recognizes that his path is right in front of him. The fool looks everywhere else. The fool is emotional, lives off his emotions. The wise man orders his steps aright. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time could also talk about walking and praying. And spending time at dinner. You've got your family together. That's the time you want to go over the things that are important. Right? Redeeming the time. Understanding what the will of the Lord is for your life and your house and your family. I mean, if you're the head of a household and you say to yourself, well, you know, people in my house aren't interested. Did you ever think they might not be interested because you're not feeding them enough to get interested in? Do you realize that all of us need to be inspired? All of us need to be fed? Think of the times in your life when you weren't interested and you went to a meeting and somebody else that was interested, his interest rubbed off on you. Right?
Yep.
So are you willing to be the one who's inspiring? So know what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that we continually feed. We continually give. Be not drunk with worldliness, strife, business. Be not drunk in your thoughts with every worldly thing, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Use your prayer language. He gave that to you. I'll tell you what, most of the time when I'm not actively thinking about something, I'm praying in the Spirit. All during the day, if I'm not actively thinking about something, if my mind is not set on thinking about something that I'm going to do or what I'm doing, I'm praying in the Spirit. That's what I do. My mind never just goes empty. I pray in the Spirit. I probably don't do it all the time, but most of the time that I can think about, if I'm not active, I'm praying in the Spirit. There's just something inside of me that knows that I have to do that. If you don't have that, you can get it. You know how you get it? Set your mind on it. You can pray in the Spirit. You can pray in your tongues when you're inactive and not actively doing something. You can pray in the Spirit. It really is like taking a shot of B12. Giving thanks always for all things, having an attitude of thanksgiving and submitting yourselves one to another. That keeps us from selfishness, submitting one to another. Cece and I, when I walk into her office, no matter how busy she is, she'll look up at me. And if I stand there, if I'm not just walking through, if I'm walking through, she'll look up, I'll look at her, and, you know, we'll say I love you or something like that. But if I stop, she'll stop what she's doing and she'll focus to see what I need. You know what that is? That's submitting one to another. I do the same thing. You've all been in my office. How many times does Cece come in my office when we're into something and I ignore her? Never happened. Never happened. That's submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. That's the laying down of your own self-will. It's also good business.
Yeah. Having a lot of children will help you do.
Yeah.
It'd be selfish.
Yeah, and you know, I see it all the time. I see moms all the time with their kids. They don't have a clue what their kids are doing.
Or the kids are hanging on them, they're just ignoring them.
Yeah, mommy, 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 mommy. What's wrong with this kid? This kid calls my name 15 times. It's because you should answer them the first time, then they won't call you 15 times.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.